Oh, it's good to be here. It's good to see you all. Is it too hard for me to ask if those of us in the back can come a little closer? Can you? All you guys around the back? I think Pastor Walker was very deliberate in waiting till this morning, I think it was, to ask if I could be here this evening. Is it this morning or last night? This morning, yes. Because he didn't want me to scare you away. Praise God. But it's good to see you all. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I see the hands of those who were here on Sunday? Oh, glory to God. That's about everyone. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. So I hope and I pray that you enjoyed Sunday. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God is good. God is good. So let me just start by just giving some special honor to Pastor Walker and his tremendous wife, his darling wife, Francine. I want to honor them. I really want to honor them. You know, it's one thing taking your wife alongside you when you travel. It's another thing pleasing your wife. No, the only way you can please your wife is to take her shopping. Well, can I tell you, my wife has found her mate, her sidekick, her soulmate, her compadre, and twins. So we love Francine. And Francine has gone beyond the call of duty to just be there for us, to be on the road with my wife and take us all out. And Pastor Walker is making sure he fills me with food right up to, not here, but he feeds me, and he is determined to fatten me before I get on. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm abstaining from all that. I will go home and I won't be that fat. But I'm enjoying my stay here. And I really just want to thank you, sir. Thank you for having me back. We share a similar vision. We have a similar passion and a similar message. It's one spirit, one God. And so when I talk with Pastor Walker and Francine and I hear all about what God has been speaking through them to this local church, and how it just dovetails with what the Lord has been preparing in my heart, I really feel good because there's a confirmation of the word there. And it helps me to see your pastor through a different eye, that as a man who is in touch with God and pressing into God and bringing the word of God to his people. My coming here, I come as someone who has been shaped and molded by the Spirit of God and prepared for a time like this. I feel like John the Baptist. Who somehow, I don't know by what means or what was it that drove John to be the way he was, but he was on the backside of the desert, living like a wild man, but seeking God. And so for those of you who don't know our story, God moved us as a church and a people from a high, lofty place in Kingston, Jamaica, where we built our local church. And for lack of owning a property, we went to a 5-star hotel in City Kingston, what we call New Kingston. And we built a church from that platform. And so our church was predominantly middle class, upper middle class. And we had a vision that if we were to change the nation and change the world by extension, we needed to impact the people on the campuses. So from the very genesis of our ministry, we were campus ministry. We were youth ministry. We worked with young people. And we really believe that if we could influence the lives of our young people, especially campus people, who represented the top 5% of the most educated of our nation, who would go on to be the leaders of our nation and leaders internationally wherever the Lord would take them. If we could impact these top 5%, then we would be sowing into or seeding into our nation leaders that were groomed by God himself. And that was our mission. And so we targeted the campuses. We worked with campus students, and we changed their lives. We threw everything into them. So we had some philosophies. One, if we could change the campus, which affects and influences the mind of the whole society, we can change the whole world. We can change a nation. So we target the campus to change our young people, and we can change and impact and impregnate our young people with the Spirit of God and with revelation from God. Then we could change our nation. If we can change our nation, we believe we can change the world. So we had purpose, we had vision, we had a plan before God that drove us. But having set ourselves up in this hotel, we grew maybe where we didn't want to grow. We grew in pride. It's something when you have waiters waiting on you for a church service, and all the lavish of a hotel spread out before you. Yes, you pay for it, but it's all there. So you attract the type of people that would attract. And yes, we had politicians, we had lawyers and doctors, and we were attracting these people. And one day the Spirit of God turned up in church. It sounds bad, don't it? But the Spirit of God turned up and spoke to me and says, move the church. I took a deep breath, counseled with my wife, counseled with some of our leaders. But the Spirit of God says, move the church. This is not where I want you. You've missed the mark. And the Spirit of God said to us, prophetically said to us, that the movers and shakers of your nation is no longer the top 5% of the most educated. The movers and shakers of your nation and the people who will influence your nation the most are the people in the ghettos. And it says, he said to me that the warlords, we call them dons, the warlords, the criminal elements, the drug pushers, and all these people are the ones who are going to drive your nation. Take the church from this lofty place and move to somewhere away from this. We had no clue where God was going to be sending us. All I had was the Spirit of God talking to me saying, move the church. Now, folks, let me just say to you from an honest heart, for an ambitious young pastor, believing God for success, you don't move from a vantage point of seeming success to go find an inner city, some desperate waste place to go build church. But the Spirit of God says, move the church. And so, we cried. I cried. We sought the Lord, and he said, move the church. So I got my leaders together. I said to them, the Lord said to me, move the church. This is not where he wants us. He wants us to get where we're going to influence the lives of the people who will influence our nation the most. And if we can change their lives, we will affect and influence and impact our nation in a very significant way. And so, folks, we took counsel, we prayed, we sought the Lord, we went into fasting, and out of nowhere, a pastor in the city called me, who knew nothing about God speaking to me, who knew nothing about us fasting for directions from God to move our church. We didn't know where we would move the church to. We didn't know anything. Just a word from God, move the church. And this pastor calls me and says, "Pastor Bobby, can I come see you?" I said, "Sure." He says, I have something to show you. So he turns up at my office. He says, "Come with me." I went in his car and he drove me from New Kingston into this inner city, which is called Waterhouse. That's where our church is based now. And folks, Waterhouse was one of possibly the most violent community in all of Jamaica. Like Nineveh, no fool will go to a place like this. Only fools go into places like this if you want to live. He drives me into this place. I had hitherto had never been into this community in all of my life. And he drives me to this property, a huge junkyard, that is what it was. And says, "Would you like this property?" And I looked at this property. And he says, "The owner of this property made this place available to me and wanted to sell this property to us. But we're all uptown people and nobody in our church wants to come down here. And so for 2 years we have had this property sitting on and we can't do anything with it." And he says, "Would you like this property?" And I looked at him and I said, "You don't know what you're doing, do you?" Because he didn't know that God was talking to me, "Move my church." No, this fool don't know where God wants him to put the church. We just know God says, "Move the church." And here's this man saying, "Would you like this property?" And I looked at him and I said, "You bet your life I like this property. And I will take it." And to cut a long story short, I said, "Point me to the owner." He did that. We met the owner. We spoke with him. We got the valuators, the people who put value on the property, and we went into negotiations with him. The value of the property back then, which is about 20 years ago, was about $1 million. 20 years ago. And because of the crime and the density of violence in the community, people were running left, right, and center for their lives. The value of the property fell from near $1 million. And you have to help me with the maths. We got it for $6 million Jamaican dollars. Now, help me here. Come on. That's a mere fraction of the value. It was literally given to us. The owner said to me on top of that, "I tell you what, just take the place. Take it for 1 year, rent free, interest free, nothing, pay nothing. Just take the place for 1 year, and after 1 year, give me $1 million. And thereafter, we can work out how you can pay the balance." Folks, I said, "I'll take it." And so we took it. Within 2 years, possibly, of moving to this desolate place in Jamaica, the place was bought and paid for. $47,000. No. You sure 47? Yes, yes, 47,000 US dollars. In 2 years, we bought and paid for the property, and we never had a cent. God sent the provision. He sent, he took us there. He sent the provision. He made everything able, made us able to do what we had to do. And fast forward, 20 years later, folks, 20 years later, what was one of the most violent communities in all of Jamaica is now one of the most peaceful community in all of Jamaica. And I'm not speaking out of deception. My wife is here.
That's a national report.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A community comprehensively, completely transformed. When we moved into this community, did I tell you when we were... After the pastor took us there the first time, I tried to find myself back there the second time, taking my wife, my children, and a few other church folk, and driving down towards this venue. There was the body of a man. His head was just blown off in the middle of the road. We didn't reach the building. We had to detour on the street, the road, onto the sidewalks to get around the body. To go to this God-forsaken place that God called us to have church. Can I tell you? We lost more than half the church. Because only fools respond to God. Now, I'm going somewhere. Tonight I'm speaking about the preparation of the bride of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. You see, I'm speaking from a passionate place of how God is preparing his bride. And it's all about the bride. I'm speaking about the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, as we manifest in this time. And so, go past all these evils that we encountered. We moved in, we had church, and revival started to break out. We started a school there. My wife heads up this school. The school became one of the vehicle or tools of transformation in the community. So we have basically the children of every murderer, every thief, every, name them, we drug dealer, we have everybody's children. Thank you, Jesus. And the children become the keys to their homes. So we have access into their homes because of these little children. And so God has just divinely planted us in this community, and we are integrating and impacting the whole community. Can I tell you, for you to make this type of transition, you have to die. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, someone can help me. 40-something, 1 Corinthians. It says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so God began to open my eyes and show me some stuff. That where he wants to take me, I had to die. I had to die to me. I had to die to my ambitions. I had to die to myself. He had to kill me. Later on in this whole process, he gave me a message. And I'm going to just give you the title to that message, because it has become part of a book that I've been writing. Only dead men can see God's face. Thank you, Jesus. And so I go back to the scripture. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So folks, we are building God's church. We are building God's house. But we have been building God's church from the standpoint of flesh. And the revelation of God as he's coming to take his bride to himself, he says, I am not coming for flesh. I'm not coming for who you are. I'm coming for what you will become. It says, flesh and blood cannot inherit my kingdom. And so he's bringing us into a place. And for us to have the impact for this end of time, for this end of the age, some of us will have to understand that your flesh is not going to take you there. Thank you, Jesus. He's going to pass you through some stuff that is going to kill your flesh. Thank you, Jesus. Why do you think he puts into the book that we need to fast and pray and seek his face? Fasting is one of the tools that helps to kill your body, kill your flesh, to get you out of the way. He wants to move you out of the picture that he can show up. Thank you, Jesus. Even in his church, he wants to show up. So in the book of Revelation chapter 3, I think it is, it says, behold, I stand at the door and I. Thank you, Jesus. What is God doing at the door of the church knocking? Then who is on the inside? I'm talking about the present day people of God here, folks. I'm sort of mixing this thing up here because I want us to come to grips with when we talk about the bride of Christ is beckoning to him to come, but as she beckons to him to come, he is preparing her for his coming. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, eh? Thank you, Jesus. So Sunday, we were talking about, as it was in the days of Noah. And we learned that entire passage deals with God's judgment on sin. And I'm not going back over that. We're building on that tonight. Eh? But suffice it to say, God is revealing what his wrath against sin is going to be like. Thank you, Jesus. So one of the main purposes of the end times is judgment. And if you go from the book of Revelation chapter 1 right on through, you see the seven seals being opened and the seven trumpets being sown, and every seal and every trumpet, every move of God is more of God's wrath and fury being poured out on the earth. It's God judging sin. It's God dealing with the issue of sin in the earth. Thank you, Jesus. So one of the main purposes of his comeback, apart from coming for his bride, remember, we parallel everything about the bride of Christ, is judgment. To cleanse the earth of sin and unrighteousness. To purge planet earth of its filth. So God's people will now have to come to a place where you reflect who God is and what God is about. And we share his passion. And so in the passion in the heart, in the guts of the church is righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because remember, when he comes, he's going to remove the wicked. And so something must separate the righteous from the. And the wheat and the tares grow together, but there must be something that separates the two. And so we are challenged by all of these things, man. And so the more that God pours out fire in the earth and turns up the heat to judge sin, is the more the church becomes pure. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And the more the fury of God is poured out upon the earth, is the more the bride of Christ becomes circumspect. Thank you, Jesus. It's the more the bride becomes holy. Praise God. So he burns away sin, but he is purging the bride. He is preparing the bride. So he's judging the earth, but he's dealing with his bride at the same time. Two things are happening. And while he's dealing with his bride, he's dealing with the nation of Israel at the same time. So it's a threefold thing. And he's working. And God's plan is on the move. Praise God. So we looked at Matthew 24. We won't go back there. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man puts his appearance in. Thank you, Jesus. We looked at what happened on the days or in the days before the flood. And we looked at when he entered the ark. And we said, what exactly is this ark that the people of God will be ushered into? I'm going to leave that. Pastor Walker and I have been having good times in the Word over this. And I'm going to leave. I won't touch that. Not tonight. I want to provoke you. You need to go seek God. What exactly is this ark that God is preparing for the end times, that his bride is going to enter into, that amidst the outpouring of his wrath and fury on the earth, his people are going to be saved from everything. Pastor Walker will be the man to take us into that revelation. Yes. We have one spirit. I tell you, folks, we have one spirit. Thank you, Jesus. But I'd like for us to just look at one scripture and then I move on. Because, you see, we must understand that gold purified by fire becomes purer and prettier. So the greater the heat, the greater the intensity of the fire, the gold goes through a process. Yes. And it empties itself, yes, of the scum. It empties itself of the dross. And the gold becomes liquid, and the filth that is in the gold floats to the top. And the jeweler, whoever you call a person who tends to gold and precious metals, the refiner, thank you, sir, takes away, clears away the scum from the top or the surface of the gold. And when you look back onto the liquid gold, you see a reflection of yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Getting you somewhere. So every time Jesus looks down on the bride, every time the Father looks down upon the people of God, he sees a reflection of himself. I'm defining the bride of Christ tonight, folks. I'm getting us somewhere. And I am trying to put something inside of there for you, that God is passing you through the fire for a purpose. Yes. And the fire was meant to kill some of us. Yeah. Because flesh, as we have been nurturing it and pampering it and blessing it and kissing it up, and will not get you there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Touch your neighbor. Pinch them. Say, wake up, wake up. We're too early to fall asleep. Prophesy to them for me. Just prophesy and say, only dead men. Come on. Only dead men can see God's face. I want to get you somewhere because I'm putting some things into your spirit. Eh? Thank you, Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying until God moves you out of the place of flesh, you will not be able to see God and have the fellowship that we need to have with God. So in the book of Exodus, Moses had an encounter with God. You see, forgive me, I'm taking some time to build here. Moses had an encounter with God, the burning bush. A remarkable, miraculous encounter. The bush burns but is not consumed. Moses draw closer to see what exactly could this thing be. And as he went close, the Spirit of God speaks to him and says, Moses, Moses, I beg you, please put off your shoe. This ground you're standing on is holy ground. And so most of us pastors get in the spirit and we get excited. We had an encounter with God and the Spirit of God talks to us and we run away. Brother Greg, and we start the first church of the burning bush. Oh, and we say to them, come join my church. I have the newest revelation of God. And we build church around the revelations we have. But the revelations we have of God are limited. Thank you, Jesus. It's just an experience that we enter into. And we build all our gospel around these little experiences we have in God. And we think we have the whole truth. But God is saying, come on, put that away. And so Moses says to God, I love this. But God, I'm not satisfied. The burning bush is one thing. I want to see you. Thank you, Jesus. He says, I want to see your face. I want to see your glory. And he's pressing into God. He says, the burning bush was good. Thank you for bringing me this close. But I want more. I'm not going to be satisfied. Religion is not enough for me. I have had my fill with that. Thank you, Jesus. I want something more. So he presses into God. He says, I want to see your glory. So God turns up and says, oh, Moses, you're so persistent. I tell you what, I'm going to put you in a safe place. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to pass by you. And you will see my backside. As I pass, you get to see my glory as I pass. And so I will set you up where you have a real good view.
Yes.
But Moses says, Father, that's not what I want. You're bringing me a bit closer. Yes, I love that. But I want to go the whole way. And Moses presses into God a little further and says, I want to see your face. I need to see you face to face. Now help me. Matthew chapter 33, I think it is. You have to help me. I'm way off of my text here, but I'm just going where the Holy Spirit is leading me to go. And the Spirit of God says to him, no man at any time has seen my face and live. Thank you, Jesus. And I will take you away in mine hand, and thou shalt, he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. Now, can I just break this scripture up for us? It is not the will of God that you should not see his face. Thank you, Jesus. It's God's will that every one of us partake of his glory and see his face. But get into the word. He's saying, but you cannot be in the flesh and see my face. You cannot live and be in this body and see this glory you're looking for. In other words, he's saying you have to die if you want to get that close. Yeah, I'm breaking the word. Yes, in other words, you can see my glory, Moses, but I'm going to require something of you. You have to pay a price to get this close to me. You have to die. You have to put off something more than your slippers. You're going to have to put off something more than your religion. You're going to have to put off something that's going to cost you to get this close to me. Yes, if you're prepared to die, then you will see me. Thank you, Jesus. And so Moses says, I want to see your face. So God broke him. Can I tell you? God broke him. He took away his flesh from him so that Moses could experience him. So Moses is a prophetic expression of the present day church. Praise God. Pressing into God. But flesh cannot take us there. And the pastors are not telling you that, because as long as you stay in the flesh and you earn your pretty money and you build your pretty houses, you'll give more tithe. But the word of God says you got to die. Thank you, Jesus. You got to die. I don't want your money. I want you. Can I tell you, I'm going all over the place. Your money, that's what we talk about tithing. And so another day, maybe when I come back, another day I'll share with you that your tithe represents you. Your tithe, he says, bring ye all your tithe into the storehouse. prove me now. Thank you, Jesus. Prove me now if I will not pour you out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, touch them. Touch them, Jesus. Let them hear this. Let them see this. Thank you. So the tithe that you bring into the storehouse, it's not just a tenth. It is something that says, God, I'm giving you my all. I'm giving you my all. And he says, you bring your all. Bring who you are into my storehouse. Prove me if I will not pour you out. Thank you, Jesus. And you will become a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. And you will have such blessings in your life that you cannot contain it. Praise God. But you're not prepared to prove him, because you're prepared to nurture the little you have. And that's why we hang on to the flesh the way we do. But he says, but I am bringing you to a place of killing you. So your tithe is something that says, I want all of you. Your tithe, you can't pay God. So your little stuff that you give to God is just, hallelujah, it's just a sample of what he's asking you to do, which is all of you. Praise God. It's all of you, all of you, all of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So touch your neighbor and say, only dead men can see God's face. Yes, where God is taking us, flesh won't take us there. Can I prophesy? Only dead men is going to see what God is about to do. And we, if we want to move into this next realm of the move of God, we must be prepared to give up some stuff, brethren. We must be prepared to give up some stuff. So when it says, as it was in the days of Lot, when Lot was taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, remember Lot's wife. In the midst of a revival, yes, the wrath of God is being poured out on Sodom and on Gomorrah, but the revival is the church is being rescued. But in the midst of revival and the rescue mission of God, her heart is on her stuff. Her heart is on what she's leaving behind. He says, remember Lot's wife. I'm talking about end times, church. I'm talking about end times. I'm talking about God's moving in this last hour. He says, remember Lot's wife. If it's your stuff you are concerned about, you're going to lose your soul. Thank you, Jesus. Am I saying anything here to you tonight? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. So I don't know where our time is going to take us, Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let me skip some of these things. I hope and trust that we will gain greater revelation into God's perspective for how we as believers can face the times ahead with hope and expectation. We are entering into the most difficult days in human history. Humanity's darkest hour. You know the scripture, Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It says, behold, the whole earth is covered with darkness. Thank you, Jesus. So in the midst of darkness, the church has to shine. Eh? And in the earth's darkest hour, I'm talking end times, folks. In the earth's darkest hour, we must arise and, thank you, Jesus. We must arise and shine. So amid such extreme darkness and evil, a great deception will arise within the church. I spoke about that on Sunday, causing many believers to fall away from their faith. Through all this judgment, all this tribulation that is taking place on the earth, the bride of Christ will be purified and made spotless, ready to be joined with her bridegroom upon his return. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let me move from there and ask if we could look at this scripture, the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I would like to declare that this scripture, for me, is the most profound scripture in the entire Bible. Luke 6 and verse 46. The most profound scripture in the entire Bible. He says, "Why do you call me Lord? Lord, and you're not prepared to do what I say." Now, I'm talking about the end time bride, folks. Don't get me wrong here. I'm preaching about the bride of Christ. And if we're not prepared to be what he calls us to be and to represent him in accuracy and in truth, it's better you never called on him or call his name. Don't call me Lord and Master. Don't call me Lord if you're not prepared to go the whole way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I say it's the most profound because this scripture will define whether you're a believer or not. This scripture will tell you where you are at, which part of the divide you will fall. Because remember, I said earlier that a great deception is coming to the church. Yes, and I'm learning as I've been conversing with my dear sister, Krista. Krista? And she's been telling me about the many arguments that are coming about people, a woke group. And people who are walking away from the church because the church is sleeping and they're going to find truth on their own and they're walking into deception. And thousands of born again believers are giving up their faith because they are hearing this contrary doctrine. It is happening. It is happening. It is happening because we do not know who we are. It is happening because our feet are not planted. So it says, do not call me Lord. Don't call me Lord if you're not prepared to go the whole way, that I become the master and the ruler of your life. My lordship doesn't govern you're just coming to church. My lordship governs every area of your life. It's either 100% or none. Come on, I want you to understand what he's saying. Don't call me Lord if you're not prepared to bow and do what I say. Verse 47 says, I will tell you who a person who obeys me is like. He is like a man who wants to build a house. Praise God. And so one of the books, Pastor, that I've been penning, I've tried, unlike you do all these research, I've tried to write these things. And I'm not a writer. I'm just trying to write these things. This is the house that God built. And he says, I'll show you who he is like, the person who is prepared to do what I tell him to do. He is like a man building a house, and he builds a foundation. He digs a foundation. And in digging the foundation, it says, he digs deep. Now, that's the King James. I don't know what these other versions says. But it says, he digs deep and lays his foundation upon the rock. Praise God. And so I'm trying to say to you today, if you are going to withstand the storms of the life, this life, and the fiery furnace of hell as it is being revealed in these last days, and find your way into the ark. Pastor Walker is going to help us to find the ark as we go along that path. It says you must dig deep. Praise God. Because if you have just been scratching the surface to build some Christian house, you are only building a dolly house. You're not going anywhere in God. Because the house of God is going to suffer some violent hurricanes. The house of God is going to suffer a lot of storms. It is going to come against hell. is going to come against the house of God. Thank you, Jesus. And you will only survive if your foundation is on the rock. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, only the man who digs deep. What does digging deep mean? It means taking the time, sacrificing your life, persecuting the flesh, perishing the flesh, putting things down, seeking God's face, yes, pressing into God, suffering some stuff for God, giving up some stuff for God. It says, dig deep. Say, dig deep.
Dig deep.
Yeah, dig deep. Put the if the Bible you have in your hand belongs to you, take your pen and mark it. Just those two words. Dig deep. Praise God. Lays his foundation on the rock, and the storms of life comes and beat against that house, and this house stands firm. I am here to say to you that when God shows up in these last days, praise God, the church is going to be secure. Hallelujah. I don't hear any hallelujahs in the house. Praise God. The church is going to stand firm. Praise God. You don't have to be wondering if you have to run with your tail between your legs, asking God to get you out of here. You are going to be secure in God. And nothing is going to shake you. But the man who builds his house on the sand, thank you, Jesus, upon nice, enticing words, who joins the Bless Me Club. Yeah. The man who builds his house upon the shifting sand is going to pay a price. Thank you, Jesus. He's going to pay a price. And it's at the end of it, it says, and he shall suffer. His loss shall be great. Praise God. He shall suffer loss. His loss shall be great. Praise God. So I want us to know who we are, folks, as we're pressing into God. We're pressing into God. We must define the church. We must know with accuracy who the church of Jesus Christ is, who we are, so that you can stand. And when the devil comes and lies in your face and say you're sick and you're going to die, and some people say, I give you so much days to live, tell the devil he's a liar. Go to hell. Thank you, Jesus. You know who you are. Stand in who you are. It's about time we start pushing back and stop curling up like some defeated insect. Folks, we must stand. I'm preaching with passion because the church needs to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Not in your own strength, not in your flesh, but in the spirit of the living God. We must stand. Thank you, Jesus. We are God's end time testimony. We are God's end time glory. We are God's light in the earth. And we must establish his glory and his presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, let me take you to the book of Genesis, where it all began. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 1. Let's see. Let's start there. Everything is prophecy, and everything is about the end time bride coming into being. So from the very beginning, God started to define his bride and purpose his bride to her position in the earth and towards the end of time. So in Genesis 1, verse 24 down, let me just run through some things quickly here. It says, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Thank you, Jesus. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea and over the fowls of the air and all of these things. So prophecy is being spoken into being. It says, let us make man in our image. So from the inception of time, man was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. There is purpose in this. There is destiny in this. The church is being created from the prophetic word of God. In Genesis chapter 2, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19 says, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found and help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam awoke from his sleep and said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's not done. It says, and they were both naked, man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Praise God. Now I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere here. Thank you, Jesus. And so God creates man, and for Adam was not found a helpmeet. And so God put Adam on an operation bed, lays him out on this theater bed, takes out his spiritual scalpel, and cuts him open, and he extracts from man woman. Took the rib out, fashions a woman. And Adam awakes from his sleep and says, woe is me. And he begins to prophesy, this is woman. So he names her immediately. This is woman, for she was taken. He was in the spirit. He knew all things. He understood what had happened. He says, for she was taken out of man. For this purpose, say this for me, for this purpose, or for this cause, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his own wife, and they being two shall become, praise God. Now, every pastor uses this in their marriage ceremonies, to engage in people in marriage. But he's not talking about man and woman. He's talking about that which he is bringing forth. And it says, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was sent to planet Earth. And the Father took him out and stretched him out on an operating bed, and took his spiritual scalpel out and extracted from him, praise God, a woman, praise God, and brought her unto him. I want you to see this. Out of Jesus comes forth a bride, a woman, and she is brought to him. Praise God. And he says, for this purpose, come on, say it for me, for this purpose, yes, shall a man leave, it's prophecy, man leaves his father and his mother to cleave to his wife, because there's something that is prophetic about this, that God meant to be, that he's going to birth something into being, he's going to bring something that he meant from the beginning into being. So I want us to turn to the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to see if I can bring this to a head here. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, praise God, Ephesians. Remember, it's Bible study, eh? So we're going all over the Bible. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pick it up from above verse 22. Let's see, we're studying the word, so let's just put it all together. So it says, wives. He starts with the Eve. He starts with the woman. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Now, folks, let me just say something. From the beginning, thank you, Jesus, from the very beginning in Genesis, when the woman was taken out of man, she was made for man, brought to man, so that they would be together in pursuing the purposes of God. Thank you, Jesus. So he says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands in the Lord, for this is the will of God. But the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. This is from the beginning. Praise God. This is from the beginning. He purposed this thing. He set it in place. So the woman and the man comes to God, and they reflect the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is established in this union. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands in the Lord. For he's the head of your home, head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of it. 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the role of the man is the role of Christ. And how did Christ love the church? He died for her. Yes, yes. He gave birth to her. I want us to hear this, eh? He gave birth to her. He paid a price to bring her into being. He says, men, oh, for God's sake, men, love your wives, for this is a prophetic example, an expression of what God has for the church, what Christ has for his bride. Why do you think that there are so few men in the church? Why do you think it is so hell hard for men to get saved? Why do you think that we have to fight to see our sons come to see God in anything? Because hell is against them. The kingdom of God is not complete without men in the house. I make no apologies for this. We need to see our men in the house of God, because it's prophetic. Thank you, Jesus. From the beginning, man and woman was to express what God is wanting to bring forth. So we're talking about the end time kingdom and the end time church as we know it. Have very few men. So we have a lot of prayer to go pray. Yeah, man, we have a lot of prayer to go pray. We need our men in the church. Praise God. We need our sons back in the house of God. Satan is a liar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to do some warfare. Put it up there. We're warring for our men. Praise God. If we're going to build the house of God, if we're going to build the kingdom of God, we need to see men taking their rightful place in the family and in the house of God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So, women, I love you. Oh, nothing like you. Praise God. You are just the prettiest species of mankind. But you're not complete till our men folk come back to their place in God. I just need to say that. The church is not complete until we begin to press home and bring our men home. I need some amen in the house. We need our men to come home. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 26. that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the body of Christ, the bride, with the washing of water by the word. Praise God. And this is why I started by saying, dig deep. If you're not digging into God, praise God, the word of God is not washing you. And he's going to prepare the bride. This is why I speak so strong about our men. We don't give up on our men. Don't give up on our men. We call them into place. We call them into being. Because the word of God says it's going to wash us. It is going to purge us. It's going to cleanse us. It's going to move deception out of our being. It's going to establish us in the place that we need to be, that God's kingdom can be established. Praise God. So you must be in a place where you are getting the word of God, bathing your soul, bathing your spirit, that you can grow thereby. You must hunger for the sincere word of God, that you might grow in maturity. Folks, we must develop in God and begin to stand in the word, believe in him. Thank you, Jesus. 27 says, that he might present her. Praise God. I move away from the word it. We're talking about the bride. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How did I say that God was going to purge the church and make her spotless and without blemish? Praise God. And so you better have the word. If the word is not on bathing you, then the fire is going to burn you. So the protection against this fire and hell is the word of God. You must be bathed in the word of God for your protection's sake. You must come into the word, and the word is God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So we're pressing into God. We're just following the scriptures as it unfolds. So ought men, 28, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now I want everyone to just flow with me in these last three verses, or four verses here. Verse 30 says, read for me verse 30. I need your help. Stop, 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 stop. Where did we just see that a while ago? In the book of Genesis. When Adam saw Eve as she came forth from man, he said, for you are bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Praise you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Now, what is verse 30 saying? We are bone of his bones. Come on, put it back in context. We are flesh. Read verse 31. Read it out. For this cause. Come in. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his. Praise God. But I am not talking about man and wife. I am not talking about Adam and Eve. I'm talking about Christ and his bride. Thank you, Jesus. So from the beginning, we were taken out of man as a prophetic expression of that which will unfold in the earth in these last days. Praise God. Touch the person next to you. Prophesy to the person next to you. Say, I am bone of his bones. Yes, 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 yes. Flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. And I'm joined to him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So God's end time church is not just a born again people. God's end time church is not just a people saved. God's end time church is a people who were born out of him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Bone of his bones. Are you a believer? Put your hand on your body and say, I am bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh. Thank you, Jesus. For this cause, come on, say it. For this purpose, I was brought into this world. Thank you, Jesus. 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 The church was brought into this world for this cause. Praise God. And the man and his wife were naked, not ashamed. Praise God. We are coming to a place where we're going to be joined to God. And only dead men can see God's face. We are going to be very naked. Praise God. But not ashamed. Because he's going to move. He's going to move immorality from your eyes. You shall behold him and you will not see him. It's not flesh. Oh my God, my God, my God. Come on. I am bone of his bones. I'm flesh of his flesh. I am God's end time bride. Prophesy for this cause. Oh, I am leaving mommy and daddy to be joined to my Savior. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So you were destined from the foundations of the earth to be God's bride. Praise God. Hell doesn't want you to know this. The devil doesn't want you to enter into this. Praise God. You are bone of his bones. When sickness come upon you, speak to it. Say, to hell with you, devil. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I am bone of his bones. It's not flesh. It's spirit. Praise God. I am who I am. I am the bride of Christ. I was born for this purpose. I am destined to fulfill his glory. Holiness is my path. Praise God. I don't work to be holy. He made me holy. Glory, 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 glory. I don't strive to be righteous. He made me righteous. I am bone. Preach with me. Bone of his bones. Flesh of his flesh. I am God's child in this earth. Praise God. I'm defining the bride. I am defining you folks for you to know who you are in God. Praise God that you can position yourself. You position yourself. Position yourself because we're pressing in to glory. Some great days are ahead of us. It don't matter how hell break through. We're pressing into God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to bring some men folk with us. Yeah, man. We're going to bring some. Come, daddy. We're going to bring some men folk with us. This is prophetic. We're going to bring some. Come, daddy. Come on, come on, come. We're going to bring some men folk with us. Yes, we're believing God. Women of God, we're believing. We're believing. We're believing. Thank you, Jesus. This bride is going to be complete. Male and female. Created he them. Thank you, Jesus. In the image of God. Made he us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Bone of his bones. Come, my friend. Bless, step out here. Bless. Come on. Press into this. I need some. Come on. Step out of your seat. Praise God. Flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. We're building the kingdom. Hallelujah. We're taking over men for God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Clap them. Praise God. Clap them, folks. Clap them. Clap them. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So God's bride, the end time church. Listen to this. God's, I'm closing. You can stand right where you are. Pastor, don't you stand with me. Praise God. God's end time bride. God's end time people were destined for this purpose. Amen. It's not about us anymore. It's Christ in me. Thank you, Jesus. It says, I am crucified. Come on. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Come on. Flesh is dead. But Christ. Come on, say, but Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I am now joined. I am one with him. Yeah. Bone of his bones. Come on. Yet not I. But Christ lives in me. I am bone of it. Christ is not revealed until the church is revealed. Thank you, Jesus. The world cannot see Jesus unless they see his bride. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. So the Savior that the world is looking to see is locked into us. The salvation that the earth is looking for, it says, I'm looking for my people to rise in these last days. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, God's end time people must manifest in these last days. We must, men, you must manifest in these last days because the world is perishing and we need to come forth. Praise God, Pastor Greg. Greg, come, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. And we are God's revelation in the earth. I am God's revelation in the earth. You didn't get it. I'm going to say it again. I am God's revelation in this earth. I am bone of his bones. Shake yourself, shake yourself. I am flesh of his flesh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, 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 yes. Christ is in me. Praise God. Yes, you see me, but you're not seeing me, folks. You're seeing the living God. Praise God. It's not I, but it is Christ who is walking in me. And this life that I now live, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who saved me and gave his life for me. Hallelujah. And every step that I take is going to be in his counsel. It says his word is a lamp to my feet. I'm walking in his word. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm taking ground from Satan. Hallelujah. His word is a light to my path. The church is going to have directions. Yes, pray for your pastors. God is going to give direction to the church. Yes, he's going to enlighten us that we will not miss the boat. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. I don't see any, but just in case there's one.
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Having heard the word of God, we're going to pray. Can we pray? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here in this room and you're not sure that you measure up, that you have found yourself in this place where you are God's chosen. If you're here and you're not sure, I would like to challenge you to make sure of this moment. Don't call me Lord if you're not prepared to go the whole way. Praise God. The bride is going to enter into a glorious time of marriage with her groom. I said it Sunday gone, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many will not make it. I am here to, as a prophet of God, I am here to challenge you. If you are not sure, if you're skirting on the outside, on the tail of this thing, if you're flirting with God, but you're not 100% sure, I say again, 100% sure, make sure now. I'm going to invite you to come and stand with me that we can pray for you, because I want to pray you into the kingdom. I didn't ask you how long you were going to church. I said, if you're not 100% sure that you've been doing the right thing and walking right with God, come now. Let me break some stuff off of you. Because hell has been tying up a lot of our feet. And a lot of us are tripping because of sin. But we need to break it. 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 The bride needs to be loosed. Thank you, Jesus, to come forth. I'm not asking anyone to bow their heads because the bride must stand tall. Praise God. You're not sure. Come, clap her. Don't look at her. Just clap her. If there are more, come, come. Now is the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Keep clapping. There's two. Praise God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand in truth. Stand in truth. It's better to be in truth than to go to hell over a lie. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You're not sure. You want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Come stand with me right now. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Stand. Clap her. Clap her. Praise God. Again, I repeat myself. I did not ask them how long they've been going to church. I'm saying make sure. Praise God. Make sure. Men. Come on, men. The devil is after you. The devil is after you. Two pastors, you need to pray for your pastor. The devil is after pastors, men of God. Men, the devil don't want you to make it. If you are not sure, come and make it sure now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anyone else? Pastor, come, please come stand. Greg, please come lay hands on your folks here. Lay hands, lay hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, sir, please. You're not sure. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Some men come to stand with them. Praise God. That's good. That's good. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. We're pressing into the kingdom of God. We're pressing into the kingdom. Pastor, I need you to pray. Let me lay hands. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And Father, we thank you that you've led these that are standing to this point. And my prayer, Lord, is that as they confess you as Lord, and as they stand here tonight, that the power of your Spirit will prevail over the flesh, over the world, and over the devil in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.